Welcome to the Scary Movie Project, where darkness meets delight. We review the creepiest films, from classics to new fright. We dive into haunted places, the eerie, the unknown. So grab your popcorn and don't watch alone. From the supernatural tales to the shadows that creep, we're your guide through nightmares that'll haunt your sleep. Tune in, if you dare, to the horrors we dissect. You're in for a thrill on the Scary Movie Project.
Hello, friends. This is the Scary Movie Project, the podcast where we talk about scary movies. I'm Tara.
Hey, and I am Matt. Abandoned as a child, raised by the dark. Two girls must battle a mysterious evil force when they get left behind at their boarding school over winter break. Can you guess what we're talking about? Maybe you can, but I'm going to tell you anyway. We're talking about The Black Coat's Daughter. Okay, The Black Coat's Daughter is amazing. I'm just going to say one. This is how I want to explain it as best I can here. I'm just going to say that if I could marry a movie, it would probably be the movie The Ninth Gate that we already talked about. So this movie, I just want to have like a summer romance with it.
Is this movie your backup date?
Yeah, no, it's like, I want to have like a summer fling, a summer romance with this movie.
Okay, a hot summer
yes,
fling.
Yes, a hot, steamy summer romance with this movie, yes. Because, I love it. So I found out about it randomly just looking at like horror movie trailers like a couple years ago. I'd never heard of it. And I just happened to randomly find it. And I saw the trailer and I said, I must go home now and watch this film immediately.
And I think that's how we found it too. It was just totally random.
Oh, man, it's good.
Which, so in case you were wondering about how Matt feels about it, he loves it.
Yes.
And so do I. I think there is something about the horror films that, and just the films that A24 puts out.
Oh, they're the best.
They release some amazing movies, and this one is no different.
Yeah, their stuff is killer. No pun intended.
It's so good. They just do great movies, and this one is no different. So this was directed by Oz Perkins, son of Anthony, really?
Could be.
Son of Anthony Perkins.
Who is best known as... I was going to wait for you to say. Go ahead.
He starred in Psycho as Norman Bates.
Oh, God, mother, no!
And this is Osgood Perkins' directorial debut.
I will also make a note. Doesn't his brother do the music in this movie?
Oh, my gosh. You know what? I didn't notice that.
And
does he?
Here is a sad part of that story, which I don't know. I'll just tell it because I just want to tell it. Their mother was a actress or like a makeup, some Hollywood person. She was on one of the flights to California on September 11th. So she is unfortunately no longer with us. Yep.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yep. I think his brother did some of the music for the movie, I think. So they're
okay,
very,
well, that's cool.
They're very
talented. It's terrible that their mother died on September 11th. Yep. That is, as we all know, a huge tragedy and something that I think is still kind of with us. But it is cool that he worked with
those
his
two.
Brother.
Yeah, are a talented brood, if you will. Yeah, they're
yes,
good.
Indeed. So another little tidbit. So this takes place at a boarding school, and that boarding school is called the Bramford School.
Well, I mean, look, what are staples of horror movies? Catholic schoolgirl boarding schools, right? And like Satan, right?
Well,
I mean,
total staple. But also the Bramford is the name of the apartment building in Rosemary's Baby.
So I'm gonna say something real quick. I'm gonna like be a nitpicker here. So the school in this movie is the Bramford. Isn't the building in the Bramford, or am I like just really going deep here?
No, I'm pretty sure it's the Bramford with an M.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's the same.
Very cool.
Yeah, so which kind of makes...
Which in real life, for you folks that want to see things, the building, now we're talking about Rosemary's Baby, that is the Dakota. Okay. Am I right? The actual building in New York City is called the Dakota.
You're better at those things than I am.
Yeah. I believe it's the Dakota. That's
I'm
going to
go with, if you said it, it's correct.
That is where John Lennon was, unfortunately... well, we're talking about an unfortunate thing. I'm sorry today. Where he was killed out. He lived there. He was killed out front of it. But yeah, that's where... the Dakota, I believe, is the name of the actual building. Sorry. Anyway.
Jeez, Matt, bringing us down.
I'm sorry. I'm
just, like right in the first like I'm 5 minutes of the podcast.
I'm sorry.
So on that note, why don't we jump in? Jeez, God. So it opens with the Black Coat's daughter, the song.
Which is very scary, by the way.
Which is so like haunting and like wonderful. Creepy. And I love it. It's such a great opening. And then we go into, Kat, who is played by Kiernan Shipka, who you all may know from Mad Men or The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
Which I heard was good. I haven't seen it.
Oh my God. I love it. Yeah, it's so good.
It's scary. It's like, is it actually scary too?
It's not
Melissa Joan Hart. It's not Melissa Joan Hart, Sabrina. No,
it's dark is okay. What it is. It's right. Dark.
Yeah.
So Kat like dreams that her dad picks her up for break early. And then like all of a sudden the car is this burned out wreck.
Right.
And she says, Mom, like, so maybe her mom's in it. It's really creepy. And it's just this like flash. And they do that like throughout, they have sort of little flashes, of dreams or flashbacks for the
quick little
main
characters. They're really little puzzle pieces, honestly, I guess, but
they absolutely are. They're little puzzle pieces for what has actually happened, which we find out at the end. Mm. But they drop breadcrumbs along the way.
Love it.
And Kat talks to the headmaster of her boarding school, and he can't stay to see her performance that's just before break because he's going off somewhere. I can't remember where
he said he's going upstate and he's taking a train. That's all that we learned. Right?
Yeah. And he has to leave before her performance. So here's,
and isn't that an odd, just like, it's like really good dialogue, but it's a very just unsettling scene, right? When they're having that conversation, she's laughing and like, he's like, what are you laughing? I mean, it's just, that's just part of what makes the movie
right,
so
she
good.
She does that weird smile thing and he's like, what's funny? And she's sort of looking off to the side she does it, which I think is hints of things to come.
Yes.
Yes. nobody can see what you did there. He put his fingers on top of his head for devil horns.
Satan.
So yeah, I think she's already starting to see things.
Yes. But it's just such a bizarre dialogue, and I love it. I think it's fantastic, but it just, that's like part of what makes this movie so good.
And it's also weird because she does seem at first, at least before she starts doing the word smile thing, to care very much that he won't be there for her performance,
right?
Which makes it seem like he's, you know, maybe an important figure in her life.
Okay.
To her.
Yep.
Which I think comes back around later, which we can talk about as we get into all of what the movie means and everything.
Yeah.
But so that scene happens. We just talked about it for way longer than it actually even takes for it to happen.
I just had to bring it up. I'm sorry.
But then we are introduced to Rose, played by Lucy Boynton, who may be pregnant and can't decide whether to tell the boy who might have knocked her up.
That's right.
About it.
Catholic
so
schoolgirls.
We're introduced to that sort of, Catholic schoolgirls running around with those probably Catholic school boys. Running around being naughty. And then all the students' parents arrive and they're all coming in. And it's winter, so because it's right before break, it's snowy on the drive.
If that calendar, remember, she's crossing off the days, it's the weekend after Valentine's Day, so it's like late February, right? Don't you remember she's crossing off the dates and it says what day it was. It says mom and dad are here, and then in the corner she had a heart and it said Valentine's Day. So
I didn't actually catch what day it was. That was a good catch.
So yeah.
So her parents are supposed to get there and they don't. And Rose's parents aren't there either.
But
Rose lies about it. Rose tells people that, you know, that her parents are already inside.
She's a troublemaker.
She's a
hellion.
She's a hellion. There you go. She's a hellion. She's a popular girl.
She is.
And a hellion a little
bit.
She's
bad news.
And the headmaster, like, just doesn't seem all that concerned that their parents aren't there when they have their little meeting with him.
Yeah,
and
he's like, whatever. Yeah,
Rose maybe. Lies and is like, they'll be here at Fran Friday.
Maybe they got mixed up, wrong day.
And he says, well, surely Kat's parents will be here by Friday too. And, you know, they just probably got mixed up and I got to go catch the train. Bye. And he leaves them with the two women who work at the school.
I don't like them either.
I think it's Mrs. Drake and Miss Prescott.
Well, I can't remember their names, but I sure don't like them.
So he leaves them with those ladies. For the couple days that they're going to have to be stuck there because the school is closing and they're the two ladies to take
right,
care of it are the only ones
they're
left
not
there.
Not responsible to have them. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, not really. And he, you know, asks Rose to look after Kat. And
what are we assuming? This Rose is probably like a junior and Kat's probably like a freshman. Is that our guess or something here?
I think she calls Kat a freshman.
Okay, that watching it just to me that would be my interpretation of it. So.
Yeah, I think she says something about her being a freshman.
Okay, most likely.
And then so that night, Rose is, you know, supposed to be taking care of Kat and looking after her, but she's getting ready to leave instead. And she's talking to Kat and tells her that the nuns at the school worship the devil.
That's right.
So there we go. Off to a fine start.
Oh, yeah.
And then she...
I'm sure that rumor's never been spread.
Yeah, she tells Kat, you know, don't go in my room, don't touch my stuff, and immediately climbs out the window and goes off with her boyfriend. And what's the first thing Kat does? Go in her room and touch her stuff.
Well, obviously. Of course.
She goes in her room and she touches her stuff, which is kind of neither here nor there in the movie, but I think it's funny that
it
that's
is funny.
The first thing she does.
It is, yep.
So now we cut to our other storyline, which is Joan.
So... the one thing I just will quickly, much like one of the greatest movies ever made, Pulp Fiction, we have the nonlinear storyline happening here, which I enjoy.
Right.
But you don't really
know that it's nonlinear yet.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, at least when I first watched the movie, I thought for quite a long time that these were all happening at the same
time.
True. And that Joan was going to show up and meet Kat and Rose at some point.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, you're right.
Spoilers, she does not.
Well, yeah so, we're all about spoilers here. So
yeah, that's all we do is spoil things. So, so Joan is a young woman. We get a couple flashbacks to let us know that she has escaped from a mental institution. We'll find out later that she has actually... strangled one of the nurses or something and taken her ID and purse.
She's completely insane. Yes.
Yeah. Oh yeah. She's not okay. So she's at a bus stop late at night and this father kindly
old man. And he's not an old man.
Kindly middle-aged gentleman.
Okay. There you go.
Cause I don't think he's that much older than me. So we're James, not going to call him older.
No, James, how you pronounce his name? James Remar. Is that it? The actor. That dude's in his 60s.
I forget his name.
That guy is in his 60s easily. He's easily in his 60s.
Well, that's true because he's also the dad in,
he's a great
Dexter.
Great. So one thing I'll
say. Yeah, you're right. It's James Remar.
I don't want to get off topic, but it is part of the topic. The cast, I think, is outstanding in this movie. I really like them a lot.
Oh, it's a fantastic cast.
I'm not a huge Emma Roberts fan, but I think she does a good job. Well, anyway, continue, but.
No. I think she does a good job in this movie. I think you're right. I think sometimes she gets cast in a lot of the same old, like same type of. Right. Character all the time, but I think she's good.
I did
in this
love
one.
Her though in what was the Fox show that was
Scream Queens?
Yes, loved it. She
yes, I love her in
that was perfect. That was a perfect role. She was that snotty, bratty teenage college girl.
But
right.
That's the roles she
that's
plays.
What she, exactly.
Usually, so
that's why she gets on my
this
nerve.
Is not quite that.
No, no.
But hardly. So this father comes and offers to give her a ride. They're heading to. Towards Portsmouth,
which is where
she tells them they're heading. She's heading,
right.
But she's already looked at. We've seen her look at a map, and she looks at Bramford, and then it like goes past and looks at Portsmouth, and then goes back to Bramford. So she's probably actually going to Bramford and just didn't tell them that.
Now, is it odd he's offering to give her a ride? I don't know. Maybe.
Well, at At first, I remember watching this, and I kind of was like,
why?
what's wrong with him?
Yeah.
Like, what is going on here? But that's all we get at that moment, because then we go back to Rose, and she's getting dropped off by her boyfriend, who she's told about being pregnant. He wants to help, but she's just kind of pushes him away. She's right. like, I'll take care of it. Right. You know, and he's like, so is that it? And she's like, and she, you know, she gets out of the car and she goes back into her room.
Yep.
And then she's in the bathroom, like washing her face or something, and she hears strange sounds. She goes to investigate. Now here's where we really start getting into some stuff.
Oh yeah.
She goes down, she's following like downstairs into the basement, and she goes back. It's the end of a hallway, and she peeks through a window in the door, and it's like the boiler room.
Yes.
And through that window, she sees a figure on its knees doing this like really fast, like bow, sit up, bow, sit up, bow, sit up, bow, sit up.
What are they
like genuflecting?
What's the word for that? I don't know if that's what, yeah, anyway.
She's genuflecting.
Okay.
She's on her knees and she's like bowing up, bow up, bow up. And so we will find out later that this is Kat. Very shortly, we'll find out this is Kat.
Yes.
Now we're back to Joan, who's been put up in a hotel room by the couple she was riding with, which, and the husband.
At that point, you're like, what? This is weird. Yeah.
Right. Well, the husband, Bill, he comes in to talk to her, and he talks to her about God and how she reminds him of someone he hasn't seen in a long time. And there's this moment where you're like, oh my God, is he going to like do something? I don't want, no, gross. Well,
while she's just wearing a towel, by the way.
Right. Yeah. Cause she's just finished taking a shower and she's wearing a towel. Where good thing to bring up. We have also seen that she has a gunshot wound in shoulder.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Oh, I almost forgot that part.
That is a massive breadcrumb.
That will come up later. That's important.
Yeah. We're going to need that.
Yeah. That's important. So yeah. if you thought, why the hell is she taking a shower? That's so gratuitous. No, there's actually a reason that we see her in the shower. We don't actually see her in the shower, but we see her like,
right.
like in the towel, and you can see the gunshot wound.
Yep.
So he talks to her. He basically just tells her like, I think he says like, why don't you just like get dressed and come down and meet me for dinner? And then he leaves like, so you can eat something. Because the wife is already asleep and they've already eaten dinner, but he wants to get her fed.
And the wife is, by the way, who's the actress that's his wife?
Is the wife somebody? And I didn't notice it?
I'm going to give you a character's name, and I'm going to see if you can pick up on it, because maybe our audience will find it funny.
Okay.
The character, the woman who plays her, is none other than Mary Swanson. Does Mary Swanson ring a bell to you?
Ron Swanson?
Dumb and Dumber, it's Lauren Holly.
Oh,
geez,
no, I did not catch that. I'm like, Ron Swanson? Yep. Parks and Rec?
And,
what?
And she was awesome in a great television show called Picket Fences. Anyway, yeah, she's, yeah, Mary Swanson from Dumb and Dumber, Lauren
okay,
Holly.
Okay, so
great
there
actress.
We go. She is from Dumb and Dumber.
Which we all love.
Because you never really see her much. She's always in the car
she's
in
shadow.
The dark.
Yeah, she's in the dark.
Shadow,
she never gets out. That's
yeah.
Right. That's right. Yeah,
so
it's an interesting one of these roles where she's a well-known actress playing a role that's totally out of character, and yeah, you never really actually even see her. Yeah, it's very interesting.
Yeah, you never really see her, and she has a great speech. Like, okay, later on. But
she's excellent.
But we cut back to Rose and Kat. As you can see, we sort of bounce back and forth a bit here, especially sort of in this part of the movie. And Rose is asking Kat if she sleepwalks because she had found her in the basement, you know, genuflecting before the boiler. They talk for a minute. Kat tells Rose that, you know, my parents aren't coming. They're dead.
They're dead. She's like, that's not a nice thing to say.
Yeah. And Rose is like, that's not
Don't
a nice.
Say that.
And then she tells Rose, you smell pretty.
Right. Right.
Which is also creepy.
It's a little odd. Yeah.
So she's just getting creepier and creepier as the movie goes along.
She's a weirdo.
And then as she leaves, this is the best. Rose asks her if there's anything she can get her. And Kat says, no, you had your chance.
Yeah, yeah, right? I didn't remember that. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, which is like, damn.
Right. What is going to happen here?
And so then we see Kat sleeping, and she's like contorting in her bed. She
yes.
totally possessed,
like
people.
Possessed. What is it? What's the movie they made? Emily Rose. That was what it reminded me of.
Oh, Exorcism of Emily Rose. Yeah.
Kirked
so
out.
So Kat is like, at this point, you are like, okay, Kat's possessed. Like, there's no fucking bones about it. She's possessed. And so then we go back to Joan, and Bill is getting her some dinner. And that's when he tells her it's his dead daughter who she reminds him of. And he shows her a picture of his dead daughter, and then, bum, 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 bum.
But then the part that I love.
Oh, wait. Do you want me to tell you who it is first?
No, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. That wasn't what I was going to say.
It's Rose, guys. Yeah. It's Rose. Ah, oh my God.
And what's cool you notice about it is because they showed the school picture day, and you saw the picture of Rose in her room, and then you see it again when his wallet or whenever he takes that. And then, of course, the great part is you see that, and that kind of makes you weirds you out. And then she gets up and says, excuse me, I have to go to the bathroom. And she goes in the bathroom and starts laughing. And you're like, okay, this is whack. And then she kind of decides what she's going to do at that point. And then, anyway, so then keep going.
I think so. That's when she makes the decision. Right. Yeah. And so the thing here, and this is not what it is, if you, for those of you who haven't watched it yet, but I thought when this first happened, oh my God, Rose is a ghost. Like, that is where my brain went. I'm like, holy crap. Kat is interacting with a ghost. How does this work?
I don't want to say like I'm some movie genius, but I want to say
you think you knew?
I didn't know, but I think I was starting to be on the right track to picking that up. To picking up what was
going to happen. I literally was like, somehow, Rose is a ghost! Rose is a ghost!
Some of this is, they're somehow connected in some way. They know each other somehow. Maybe we're in the future. I don't know. Right. Yeah. Anyway, keep going.
So right after this, when she goes into the bathroom and she's laughing, this is when we actually get the flashback that shows that she strangled someone with a belt. And we see the ID, and the ID says Joan. So
that's right.
That's when I think you start realizing her name's not really Joan.
No, she's not really Joan. No, she's not at all. And she's obviously up to no good.
So they're supposed to leave in the morning, but bad weather is coming. So Bill says, let's get back on the road tonight. Let's go. And they all get back on the road.
Well, and also remember in the restaurant, I think is when he starts telling her about what happened to his, do we need to talk about what happened to his daughter? Cause he tells her, right? Isn't that in the restaurant when he tells her what happened?
Is it in the restaurant?
Yeah, because when we get back in the car, that's when the mother goes into her hysterics.
Yeah. I thought it was the mother that told her, but maybe not. I can't remember now.
Well, she gets deeper into it, but he mentions
how
she was killed.
And
she was almost 18, he says, or almost 17. And what they're doing is they always go back there every year to the school, I guess, right? To lay flowers and just do like a remembrance. Yeah, exactly. So anyway, yeah.
And the mother has this really
she's
beautiful.
She's screwed up
monologue.
And this death of her daughter ruined her life. I mean,
she will never.
She's screwed up like every minute of the day. Like she is like clinically like depressed, like screwed up for life.
Oh yeah. And she's talking about how her husband like keeps doing this where he meets girls and he thinks they remind him of her. And
so
she says, they never remind me of her. She says, you don't remind me of her. And then she says, and this is weird. She says, in fact, I can't really even see you.
Right. Right. That was a great part where, they're in the car and they're waiting for him. It's the wife and Joan. And she's telling her, I bet he pulled the line where she says, you remind her of, all that. They go through all that stuff. And you're sitting there like, oh my God, like this woman, for her, this is like happened yesterday. Her life is, we find out,
9 years. Been, I think, 9 years.
Clearly, their marriage is probably destroyed because of it. They somehow get along, but this is something that just by her outstanding acting, you get the feeling of what an awful, awful thing this is that happened to them. It's unbelievable.
It's amazing. Worth watching just for that monologue.
Oh, that's what I mean. Cast is outstanding.
Yeah, this cast is fantastic.
Oh, great.
So back to Kat. At dinner, she doesn't say grace.
Oh, yeah.
And the sister asks her to, and she can't get through it.
And she looks
like
terrible.
We know she's possessed. Yeah, she looks awful.
Looks
she's
like
been looking
death.
Worse and worse and worse throughout the movie.
Right.
And then she stands up and just pukes.
Yeah.
And they get her to the infirmary, and Mrs. Drake, one of the women, tries to help her. She gives her water and she tries to help her take it or something. And Kat says, "Don't touch me, cunt."
Yes. Yes. That was the line. That was
and the last word comes out in this like creepy voice.
I love that.
And they ask Rose, Mrs. Prescott, I guess it is, asks Rose to shovel the walk because the headmaster is coming back tonight.
Right,
now.
That's right.
So then the next thing we see is the headmaster arriving with a police officer. Mm-hmm. And they have to let themselves into their house because nobody answers.
It's locked. Yeah. I mean, it was weird to me. Even the screen door was locked. You remember that?
Yeah.
Locks a screen door?
And so when they get in, all we see at this point, we don't see much yet. We just see that shot where they're coming in, and then it cuts to from the inside of the house, and we see a blood smear on the side of the doorway. Oh, it's so good. And that's all you see.
Well, then you see the two of them. Then you see them and the guy covers his face because he sees something off.
Oh yeah, because they come in. Yeah,
off Karen, and obviously,
and he covers his face.
Right, and it cuts, and you're like, oh, whatever he sees is not good.
Hard cut to Kat marking off the days until her parents get there.
Right,
and so we've gone back in time, and it's currently the day before they get there, and she goes down the hall and makes a call home. But instead of her parents, she hears this weird voice, and I had trouble telling what the voice said. So I actually went and listened to these phone call parts I did it with the captions so that
what it said. Good idea. That's good thinking. Yeah. So what do they exactly say?
So the voice says,
kill them all or something like that.
Well, first it says they're not coming.
Okay. I think I got that too. Yeah.
Because she's like dad, and it says they're
Mom,
not coming.
Dad, yeah.
And then it says, kill all the cunts.
Oh, okay. Wow.
And so that's where she got that word.
That is hilarious.
I guess. And then now we see these past scenes with Kat, like the same scenes that we've already seen, but we see Kat staring into corners and this creepy shadow being in the corners staring into.
So is that supposed to be Satan? Because it looks like the Bunny Man, which we love and know so well.
It does a little bit. Feel like it looks like the shadow of the big monster in Where the Wild Things Are.
Ooh, that's good. That's good. I like that. But yeah.
But it's this big. It's this
and it
big.
Looks
and
furry,
it looks furry.
And it has like
and
rabbit
it has
ears.
Two straight horns.
Right.
Well, I think those are the horns.
That does not look like a demon or some sort of representation of Satan.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah.
You know what, though? Satan is not necessarily, we know that Satan is not necessarily the representation we've been told it is. Satan is whatever it wants
true.
To be. He, she,
Satan
whatever.
Maybe Satan wanted to look like the monster.
And can take the form of whatever it chooses. You're right. That's right.
Where the Wild Things Are. Maybe it wanted to look like that so that she would trust it.
There you go. And actually, you know what? I actually do appreciate a movie that does break the rule of that and not use the same stupid trope every time. So, that's fine.
So, and it is, I mean, it is creepy because it's still like a really dark shadow in the corner.
It could just be a demon. It might not be Satan anyway. It could just be a
demon.
That's
true. So. That's also true.
Yep.
So then there's another call. This time I think the phone rings and she picks it up.
Oh, so the two times we see this thing, once is in the bathroom, right? We see her feet in the tub and the camera pans and we see the mm-hmm. demon. And the second time is, where was the other one? I don't remember. Anyway, sorry.
Oh, no, I can't remember where the other one was.
Another one at the end of the
movie. But we do, but these are past scenes that we've already seen.
Right.
So then there's a call comes in, Kat answers it. This time the voice says, you can stay here with me.
Oh, very good. Okay. Makes sense too. Yeah.
And at this point, I think this is when we see she's killed Mrs. Drake and Miss Prescott.
Yeah. So remember, it shows what they do when they go back after that. She has that knife. So I love when one of the descriptions of the movie, I think they said it's rated R for brutal, bloody violence, which I was like, okay, I definitely got to watch this. So they, Perkins, this guy, I think he did a great job overall. He does, I love that he shows just enough violence for you to think this guy is twisted, but not too much to know that he's completely insane. Like, I mean, he really shows her stabbing this woman,
mm-hmm.
the blade
mm-hmm.
going into her body, pulling her up. And like I said, it's like just enough of like 3-4 seconds to, you know,
but
just
this
enough.
But this is the first violence we've seen in the whole movie. And we're now like maybe 10
intense.
Minutes from the end.
Yeah. And it's intense. And it
like
shows
10
her
or 15 minutes from the end.
Yeah, she kills the two women, and then she kills. It shows her killing what's her face, the girl, well, Rose.
Well, so yeah, then but the best part is Rose gets up in the morning. And she goes to the bathroom and realizes she has her monthly.
And she's so
happy. And she's like, oh, so relieved, so happy. And she hears the door and calls out to Kat, but there's no answer. And when she goes down the hall looking for anyone, Kat just stabs her to death. So it's like,
right in the stomach.
Oh, and yay, relief. I'm not pregnant. And now I'm dead.
And of course, that's great. But what's so great about it is the fact that, you know, that shot is purposely done where she stabs her in the stomach. So does Kat have any thought that this woman pregnant, you know what I'm saying? Does she know that she might be? Like, that's such a perfect...
Oh, I don't know. I didn't even think about that.
You know, she could have just stabbed her in the back. She could have slit her throat. Right. She stabbed her right in the stomach, though. Like, I just think that meant something, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, even if Kat didn't know that, it still could have been something that
or
that the director put there.
It's for us, the viewer, to
on
see.
On purpose. Yeah.
Right.
For us. Yeah.
That's right.
So
yeah, that
now,
was great. But yeah, those two murder scenes are violent as all get out. Oh, man.
Oh, they're bad. And so now we're back with the headmaster and the cop as they enter the house.
Yep.
And we see all what they find.
And it does that. It does that shot again. Remember? It does that shot again where they go in the door and they do the panning shot and you see them again. Well, yeah, this time we see what happened. Exactly.
And this time we see everything that happened. Yep. And so they
remember
find
she went
Kat.
To get the pillowcases. Remember she goes to get the pillowcases from upstairs?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and so when they find Kat, she's in the boiler room again, and she's got the three heads lined up in front of the boiler.
And that was the pillowcases because she cut the heads off.
And that was the pillowcases.
And
yeah,
she was
carrying them in the.
And I love the one of Ro. I mean, that was you knew the way they just showed that where she picks her up by her hair. And just picks up
you
her
knew she was cutting
body,
her head off,
and just this limp, dead body, and you see her about to go. That was just like so well done.
And actually, this time, my husband pointed out, and he caught this. I did not, so props to him. When she pulls up her head, her up by the hair, it does a close-up on her chest where she has her sweatshirt with the school crest, which is a profile view of a head.
Yes. No, great little piece in there.
So
I did,
good.
I didn't catch that.
He was like, they closed up on the head. That's
awesome.
Perfect.
Yep.
So she's there with the heads. They tell her to drop the knife or he'll shoot her. The cop tells her to drop the knife or
course,
shoot her.
And of course, all that stuff is really cool because they went in and they did some changing the tone and the pitch on their voices. Remember that? When that part of that scene is happening, the cop.
Oh yeah.
You as the viewer are seeing they went in and distorted the cop's voice, so he's speaking in this strange tone that is otherworldly or it's just weird. It's not happening
it's
in
weird.
Real time.
It's like kind of echoey and kind,
slow
yeah, it's kind of
down away right. And he's and that I thought was a nice little touch into because you're kind of listening to it maybe as her. Persona because she's so
right,
whacked
from
out
from her point of view
right
yeah
right.
And she's so yeah and so he tells her drop the knife or he'll shoot her but she just raises her arms still holding the knife
right.
And says hail Satan
there you go and she's got a crazy and they mess with her voice too so yeah that's a weird scene
yeah
anyway,
so he
but, yeah,
so he
ahead.
Shoots her right. So this is where we get back to where we see the shot in Joan's shoulder
remember
in quote unquote Joan's shoulder.
Yeah.
So this is after that is the scene actually where Rose's mother tells Joan all about the murder of Rose. And she says they had to take blood samples to match her head to the body.
Wasn't that something? Oh my goodness gracious.
Yeah. Which is so creepy. Ooh. And then Joan asks Bill, well, we'll call her who she is now. Joan is Kat. We know that at this point.
Now I've known that.
She asks Bill to pull over.
I'm going
to
be sick, she says,
and it's right in front of the school. And Rose's mother is like,
don't pull over.
No, don't pull over here. Not here. But he does. And then she just stabs them both to death.
Well, she gets up with the knife she's got and just grabs him by the back of the head in the driver's seat and just slits his throat.
Mm-hmm.
And then she just gets all kinds of stabby on the mom.
And just starts
stabbing in the back, and they show that too, and just for that 2 or 3 seconds, that you're just getting stabbed in the literally stabbing her in the back, and just slaughters them.
Yeah, it's rough. And then she pukes.
Yeah, she does.
And then she pukes.
And she's covered in blood because it sprays everywhere, right?
And so she cuts their heads off and puts them in a suitcase. And love this part.
She sure
I love
does.
This part.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're
she
gonna say.
Changes clothes. She cleans the blood off her face. She even puts on a little makeup, a little blush.
So I was going to ask this question. I love that you mentioned the makeup. Is she actually making herself up with blood or actual makeup? Is she using blood as like...
No, she pulls out a little like... She pulls out
I
a
saw
little...
her do that, but I wasn't sure if she was actually using makeup or blood. Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, you know, I thought it was makeup, but that would be creepy if it was blood.
Who knows?
That would be creepy if it was blood, but I thought I saw her pull something out. And using a brush with the makeup.
Could be.
Either way, it's creepy that she's just beheaded these people, killed them and then beheaded them, and now she's putting on makeup.
Yep.
And so we cut back to Kat earlier, where she is now strapped to a bed, and the headmaster, who is also a priest, comes in and performs an exorcism. And this is, I think, like the biggest, like, we know what's going on now moment in the whole movie.
And that's when she sees the demon.
He's
again.
Performing the exorcism. She sees the demon in the corner.
And what if she says, and that's important what
and
she says
she whispers,
to him, right?
Yeah, she whispers to it, don't go.
Right. Or don't
like
leave
she's
me or something, yeah.
Desperate. It's don't go. Oh, okay. It's okay. Don't go. She says, don't go. I wrote it down.
Good. Okay, yeah, yeah.
Because I knew I wanted to get that line. She says, don't go. And then we go back to Joan Cat, older cat.
Modern day.
Returning.
Day.
Yeah, modern day cat. Returning to the Branford School, going back into the boiler room in the basement with the heads. And
isn't that a movie? Two heads in a duffel bag, by the way?
eight heads?
Or
in
eight
a
heads?
Bag?
Okay, whatever.
It's a lot of heads in that movie.
There are.
And so basically, she's got the heads, and then she's got them lined up in front of the thing. And then the next thing we see is her out in the driveway in the snow. And she's bawling all alone.
Well, of course. And she looks very disappointed when she goes into that furnace room and she kind of sees that it's not on. It's not hot. Nothing's turned on. And she just seems like she's really dead. She's very upset anyway. Yeah.
So that's the very end of the movie. And that, I mean, to me, and it's funny, I read a couple articles about this, and one of the articles I read, I think it was in Vulture, actually said, oh, well, she's crying at the end because the devil has finally fully left her and she realizes what she's done. And I was like, no, what are you talking about?
No.
She's obviously, to me, it's very obvious because she says don't go when they're performing the exorcism, that she's lonely as shit. And she's just bawling because the devil didn't come back.
Yeah. Okay. So
because it was all she had.
Right.
And she wanted it to come back so that she wouldn't be alone anymore.
Yep. Okay.
You know, we missed the part where they find out that her parents did die.
Yes.
In the car crash. I forgot about that.
That's right. All right. So
she doesn't have parents. The headmaster has left early and didn't see her performance. Like, didn't care. Like,
I thought her performance
doesn't
stunk,
have friends.
By the way. Was that just me or was she terrible?
She was all right. I thought it was.
I know, I'm being a jerk.
Not a professional performance.
No, it's a 15-year-old girl. Whatever. All right. Yeah. So, okay. So you're to your point anyway, to put the bow on it, I guess. Yeah. And I love that shot at the end. It's outstanding. All right. So I'm going to try to be brief. I have a lot of thoughts on this movie.
Go for it.
One, I mean, like I said, my movie to marry is Ninth Gate, but this is my like summer romance I'd like to have movie. it really is outstanding. The first time I saw it, I mean, I think I wanted to get up in my living room by myself and just start applauding, basically. It's one of those movies to me where I like it so much and it becomes personal so much because I'm watching. I mean, whenever I watch a movie, I'm always, so are you, wondering how did they shoot that scene? What camera was that scene? Well, you know, we always want to know that stuff. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if this ever happens to you, but when you really get into it and you feel like a connection with the movie, I was actually thinking when I watched that about how if I did this, they went into my head and they shot this the same way I would do this. Like, I would have done this exactly the same. Like, this is basically, they, like, stole the idea out of my head if I were to shoot this the same way. Like, this guy literally got inside my mind and, like, did this. This is exactly the color I would have used. I totally would have used that shot. I would have used that voice. I would have used that that setting. I would have just, like, that lens they used, that was, it was like, perfect. And
yeah, I can see that.
I love, I don't know if I'm explaining that properly, but I love any, I love scenery and mood. And this movie, mm-hmm. I am just in love with the mood in this movie.
The mood in this movie, the cold, the snow, the very slow pace.
Yes.
It's slow, but it's not plotting. It's not uh-huh. like dragging out where like, oh God, this is boring. It's
right.
It's just very slowly builds.
Yeah.
And to be honest, you guys heard us talk about it. If you haven't seen it, even if you've heard us talk about it, you still need to see it because we can't adequately describe the actual, like, it's like tone poem in a way. Like, there's so much.
Maybe I'm trying to say also
richness to it.
Yeah. Maybe I feel like I almost, yeah, I'm having a hard time explaining how really that is. I mean, if I had made that, I feel like I would have made it exactly the same. I mean, he literally, I would have used everything he used to do this.
Yeah, every choice he made was just it for this movie.
I mean, it was incredible.
Just the right choice.
I could almost like see, like one of the, here, good example. I remember the first time I saw it, I've seen it like three times now, the scene where Kat's on the phone and she's in the hallway. I remember watching it and nothing's happening. It's just a static shot of her. And I remember thinking a slow push would be amazing. And like seconds later, there's a slow push. Like, yeah, little things like that. Like I swear, mm-hmm. like, yeah, like, this is what I mean. I would have done exactly this stuff. It's perfect. But yeah.
And see, for me, this movie got me so much that I don't even think those things when I'm watching a movie that's so good that it just got me.
Yeah.
I just watch the movie. And that's kind of when I know that it's got me. When I'm not thinking
about how,
like,
it's made.
Oh, that was a good choice. Or, oh, this, like, when I'm just in it, that's how I know.
It's like a kindred spirits thing or something. Like, yeah, like my mind would have done the same exact. If you had given if you'd given a script to me and him, I swear to God, he would have gotten like the same movie. You know what I mean? I really, really mm-hmm. would have. But yeah, the mood, I love, I mean, like, I am a cold weather person. And for me, the ideal day is a cold, windy, cloudy day when it's like 40 degrees outside. Now, this is much colder, this setting. But yeah,
yeah.
The gray, bleak, frigid winter. There's only one scene with any kind of light where she's shoveling the driveway. The rest of it either is at nighttime or it's in the day and it's cold. And that last shot, whatever, I want to know what camera and what lens they used when they have, what's her face? Yeah, I forgot. I just said her name. Emma Roberts at the very end there. That's beautiful. I mean, she is so rack focused, and that background is so blown out. And it's outside because you can tell it's real. She's frozen. She's frigid. She's bloody. It's beautiful. Like, this movie is just so. It is just such art to me. I thought it was just outstanding. I love it to death. And one thing I thought was cool. I did a research. I wanted to find out about this. I was wrong. But so they drive an old Mercedes, an old diesel Mercedes, if you remember them. Bill and his wife. And I remember thinking,
I did not notice the car, but that's
I'm a car guy.
I don't notice cars.
I'm a car guy too. But I started thinking, I wonder, because this is Oz Perkins, whose father was in Psycho. I need to look up if Marion Crane's character, when he puts her car into the reservoir or whatever, mm-hmm. was that a Mercedes? I had to look it up. It wasn't. It's actually a Ford. Okay. But that would have been such a cool movie
that
thing
been great.
If they had done that. I think that would have been amazing. But, okay, I think I got all my thoughts. Oh, yeah, but what really about it, I'm with you at the end of it where, yeah, she has no one. She clearly is completely insane. I mean, she's just completely nuts. And for lack of a better word, the only person or anything in her life is this demon or is this spirit mm-hmm. that took her over. And that's what they say is, you know, if you're vulnerable like that, a demon will possess you. So that was how it happened. And never went away.
Yeah, I think that's why she let it in to begin with.
Of course.
Because she was so desperately lonely.
Yep. And, I mean, I can't really get inside someone's head whose only person in their life is a demon. But clearly it meant something to her. And she went back after all this time. I don't know if she's sad about killing the people. Probably not. But yeah, I think she's upset because she went back and her I don't want to say master. That's not the right word. Her demon, whatever, is
her demon.
Not there. Yeah, he it did not come back for her for this time.
Which in a way, yeah. I mean, wouldn't you expect that the evil demon or Satan or whatever level of demon it was, what would be the cruelest thing you could do once you've gotten someone sure. to kill everybody and all they want
not
is you
show up.
To not show come up. Back.
That's right.
Like, so if you're going to be evil,
yeah,
that's the choice.
But yeah, this movie oozes dread. And I just, yeah, for me, that was great. It was really, really, really good. And for
we've talked about this before. I love movies. My husband and I both love movies where at the end you say yes to evil.
Well, you know, and like, thank you. I was going to mention that too. Everyone basically dies. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like that's one thing I hate about scary movies is a lot of them end up with somebody living or being a hero. No, it's like Rob Zombie says, everybody effing dies. Like, yes, that's what I want at the end. I want misery. This movie was about pain for an hour and a half or 2 hours anyway. Why do we need to be happy at the end? No, everyone's dead. That's it.
I mean, there are definitely movies that do that I love. But there's something about movies like this.
Yes.
Like The Witch.
Because it leaves you then with
Midsommar,
thinking about
where
it still.
You go with the bad at the end.
Evil wins in the end of this. Absolutely. And it makes you kind of wonder. I mean, I guess I kind of wonder whatever happens to this poor woman eventually the rest of her life. Does she kill herself down the road? Who knows, right?
I mean, does she get picked up by the cops and go back to the insane asylum?
Right.
It almost doesn't matter because that she doesn't have anyone, including her, her demon, like.
And then also, I wonder.
It doesn't matter anymore.
Is there a demon, or is she just so insane she made all this up? I always think
is there really a demon? Like, maybe the reason the demon never came back is because there was never a demon,
right?
And she was just going crazy.
That's what I write. Every movie, I run that through my head. Like, remember we talked about Midsommar? And I was wondering if all of that even happened, or were they just on drugs so bad the whole time? Because I always wonder, what we saw was actually real? So,
yeah.
But no, this movie is, it is. And yeah, for his first film, I mean, wow, you're talking about.
And the funny thing is, his next film, I don't like.
Okay, that's what, the pretty little things that live in the house. What is it called?
I am the pretty thing that lives in the house.
I'm going to watch it because this guy.
I didn't love it.
Okay.
So, you know, maybe someday we'll do it. But yeah, I wasn't. After this, I felt like it was a disappointment.
Oh, well, sure. I could see that.
To me.
I can definitely see that. Yeah. So, by the way, on Kempville, Ontario, is where they shot this.
Yes. Canada for New York.
Yeah. Yep. Kemp.
It's supposed to be upstate New York, but they shot it in
Which
Canada,
is well done because places in upstate can get incredibly cold and snowy like that. So it represents itself pretty well.
And apparently it was like the coldest week on record, the week that they shot. I think it was Emma Roberts stuff.
That's perfect.
The coldest week they'd had.
Colder the better for that. Because then you are getting genuine cold feeling from your actor at that point, where they are genuinely miserable because it's probably 15 degrees outside. Yeah. The colder the better for that stuff. So that bleak scenario is like, to me, movie gold. I mean, I think it's amazing. It totally.
Yeah.
It's like The Shining, right? You know, same kind of deal. It kind of brings you in like that, and you can feel that atmosphere that's just so perfect for it. So, bravo. I mean, I love this. There isn't a whole lot I don't like about it. I think the cast is incredible. I think the acting is great.
I think everything about this movie is fantastic.
I really, really love it.
There's nothing I'd complain about in this movie. I love it.
Yep.
Excellent. So before we go. Guys, if you enjoyed the podcast, we're going to ask you like we always do, please rate and review us on iTunes or wherever you're listening so more people can find us. And don't forget, send us your movie suggestions, your thoughts on the movies we've watched so far, really whatever. Email us at thescarymovieproject@gmail.com. See ya.
See ya. Stay connected with The Scary Movie Project. Visit our website, thescarymovieproject.com, at the Scary Movie Project on Instagram and Facebook, and email us at thescarymovieproject@gmail.com.